It's your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC for 20 great years has the best OTR on our live streaming. And continue tuning in to the Radio Book Channel, along with the RTC Music Channel, all at oldtimeradiolisten.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the RTC Weekly Download, where we review in once a week, forever and ever, as it appears, old time radio. Today's show will be all comedy. We have three pretty good ones here for you. We're going to start off with the Fred Allen Show. This one is guesting James Mason and Pamela Mason, and it's from 1948.
The Ford Dealers of America present the Fred Allen Show. Fred Allen Show with Fred's guests, Mr. and Mrs. James Mason, Walton Hoffa, Minerva Pius, Peter Donald, Parker Fenley, the DeMarco sisters, and Al Goodman and his orchestra. And this is Kenny Delmar speaking for your friendly Ford dealer. Spring is officially here. In the southern half of the country, many Ford owners have already taken their Fords back home to their Ford dealers for spring tune-ups. But if you live farther north, you may have postponed that important spring tune-up so far. Your Ford dealer wants to remind you that it's time right now to bring your Ford in so he can take winter out of its system and get it ready for smooth, warm weather driving from now on.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Easter Sunday. Tonight, we bring you a man who wasn't in the Easter parade today because the parade has passed him by.
Yeah.
He's Fred Allen.
Thank you, and good evening. Thank you. Oh, they're exuberant. Thank you. I wish you'd tell your relatives to stop on cue. I mean, if they have to applaud, we'll give them a cue after this. Thank you, and good... Thank you. So I don't mind them starting the applause, but when they drag at the finish, you know, they're overdoing it. Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. In Portland, I heard you mention the Easter parade. It so happens I was in the parade today, and if you saw me, you have to admit that I looked pretty sharp.
Oh, Mama said you were as sharp as a Eubanks pout.
A Eubanks pout. Mm-hmm. Well, I'd like to auction that joke off. Could I get one laugh, please, Eubanks pout? Could I get one? I got one. Going. I've got one. Could I get two? Could I get one? Well, how about a silk hat, that Paul Bearer sombrero I was wearing? What about that?
Mama said your head looked as though it was hanging out of a ship's funnel.
Well, don't.
Can I get one? Can I get two?
I see. This is going to be a battle of wits tonight. It's too bad you didn't come prepared. Don't tell me you're... What are you laughing at? It's on you. Don't tell me your mother was in the parade.
Yes, Mama wore her new Easter hat.
Oh, one of those current millinery monstrosities?
Well, it's a pond lily astride a piece of Brillo.
That's a hat. I saw a woman with a hat today. It looked like a small pot roast relaxing on a wet dish rag. The woman with her had on a dirty pimento or something. It looked as though somebody had left an antipasto in her hair.
The parade was wonderful.
Oh, I know. I know that.
Did you see the 40 mink marching?
Oh, the 40 live mink?
When they got to 59th Street, the mink all stopped and spelled out Bloomingdale.
Really? That's more than Bloomingdale can do. How did they dot the I in Blooming?
Well, one little mink jumped up on another mink's head and made like a ball.
Oh, really? Tell me, did you see Adolph Monju in the Easter Parade?
No.
Oh, Adolph was applauding himself. He had on fawn gray knickers, plastic platform shoes, and just ahead of him, Mr. Monju had a peacock prancing on a neon leash. And his muffler was a tassel. Well, enough about Easter Portland. What's in the news this week?
Two boys in New York won Pepsi-Cola scholarships.
Oh, really? Pop is sending them through college, eh?
Pop?
Yeah, Pepsi-Cola is a pop. Pop is sending them through college.
That sounds like one of those jokes you always give me.
Yes, it does. I should have given it to you tonight, too. You know, a line like that I wouldn't throw to a person who was drowning. What else is new?
Schools of sardines are swarming off the coast of California.
Well, that's good news for the actors out in Hollywood.
The sardine?
Any actor who has two pieces of rye bread and can swim is sure of a sandwich.
What is a sardine?
A sardine is a herring in shorthand. And while you're making sure that the sardine in that gag isn't a smelt, I think I shall start for Allen's Alley.
What is your question tonight?
A prominent economist, after a survey conducted among 24 typical homes, says that American women work too hard. And so our question is, do you think the average American woman works too hard?
Shall we go?
As the sideburn said to the razor blade, brother, I'm off. Here we are back in Allen's Alley, Portland. Say, I guess Senator Claghorn has been celebrating Easter, too. He has some colored possum eggs in the window there. Oh, well, I'll knock.
Somebody put the whammy to my panel.
Yes.
Oh, it's you, Dodo Puss.
Yes.
Well, what's on your mind, son? Let's get going. I'm busier than the little boy's tongue when his Eskimo pie starts melting.
Now.
Yeah, I've been working on that new tax reduction bill.
Oh, will it help the taxpayer?
From now on, son, the government is going to give the taxpayer a hand instead of putting it in his pocket.
Well, Senator, how can the administration afford to cut down on taxes?
When the administration paid its income tax this year, they got a big exemption.
The administration?
They claimed Europe as a dependent. Whole world mix up, son.
Yeah.
Hangovers are costing this country $1 billion every year.
Hangovers?
People are drinking to forget.
To forget what?
What they're drinking. Everybody's switching. Bartenders are going crazy.
You,
Just when a bartender thinks he knows what a customer's drinking, the customer switches.
Why, I see.
It shows what some people will do to get their pictures in the paper.
Well, with an asterisk, too. Well, tell me, Senator, do you think the American woman works too hard?
That's a leading question, son. Yeah. This is election year.
Well, I know.
I'm like Kissing Jim. My career's at stake.
Do you think women work too hard?
I do. My wife is sweeping the house from morning to night. She's sweeping here, she's sweeping there, always with the broom in her hand.
Broom? Why doesn't she use a vacuum cleaner?
My wife's a Democrat. She won't even touch our vacuum cleaner.
Why not?
That vacuum cleaner is a Hoover. Go on, that is.
Senator has his wife on the carpet. Let's see how Mr. Moody is doing.
Howdy, bub.
Well, Mr. Moody, I see you have your raincoat on.
I can't get it off. I'm trapped in it.
You're trapped in your raincoat? What's wrong?
Well, it's a long story.
Yes?
And the way I tell it, it's mighty dull.
I can imagine.
But if you got the patience to hear me through, I'll start boring you.
If you will. How come you're trapped in your raincoat?
Well, sir, last Tuesday I was down in the Lower 40 planting.
I see.
Some of the seeds must have dropped down into my shoe.
Into your shoe?
Coming home, I stepped into a puddle.
You wet the seed, and what happened?
Next day, I felt something creeping up my leg.
Yes.
Then I felt something creeping around my back.
Something was growing on you?
First thing I knowed, my underwear was a vine.
Gosh.
And it's still growing up my sleeves and down under my stomach.
Well, isn't it mighty uncomfortable with that vine closing in on you?
It's mighty difficult sitting down.
When you sit down?
I have to balance myself on a squash.
Well, tell me, Mr. Moody, do you think American women work too hard?
Oh, shucks, you better ask somebody else. I don't know no women.
Well, you know your wife, Mrs. Moody, don't you?
Why, I wouldn't say I know Miss Moody, but we're acquainted.
Well, does Mrs. Moody work too hard?
Not since she's married.
I see.
But before Miss Moody was married, she must have worked like a horse.
What makes you think she worked like a horse?
Because the day I proposed, I says, how about getting hitched?
And when you said hitched?
Miss Moody backed up and stood by the wagon. So long, Bill.
Well, Looks as though Titus married an old nag. Now, let's try this next house.
Hi there, Jeffy.
Oh. Mrs. Nussbaum, say you're laughing. What's so funny?
I'm reading the cartoons with the comical pictures.
You like the comics?
Especially Little Adler.
Little Adler? You mean Little Abner.
Abner in your paper, and mine paper, it is Adler.
Oh, I know.
The Hillbillies, this Little Adler I'm enjoying.
The Hillbillies, huh?
Yes. They're talking with a dialect. Very amusing.
Yes, with a...
Especially when Pappy Yoakum is saying to Daisy May, I'll put the frosting on your cake. To me, this is a yuck.
You like to laugh, eh?
Well, years ago, an old philosophical is saying...
Yes?
Laughing and the world is laughing with you.
Uh-huh.
Weeping and Betty Davis is in the picture.
Well, tell me, Mrs. Nussbaum, do you think American women work too hard?
American women are living, you should excuse the expression, the life of Riley.
How do you mean?
What does is not doing, servants is doing.
Well, that's true, that's true.
Cooks is cooking.
Yes.
Chefs is chefing.
Yes.
Chambermaids is chambering.
Yes.
Footmen is footing. Butlers is butling.
Well, what about you? Do you have servants?
When I'm first married, a blushing bride, Pierre is hiring for me 50 servants.
Uh-huh.
One day, all of the servants, suddenly I'm firing.
You discharge 50 servants? Why?
Housemaid's knee.
Housemaid's knee?
Pierre was sitting on it.
Oh, I see. Well, that is... Well, here we are. Here we are at the end of the alley. Let's see if Ajax Cassidy is home. Well, Mr. Cassidy. Mr. Cassidy, how are you tonight?
Oh, terrible, terrible, terrible. My legs is wobbly.
Really?
One day I feel like running and the next day I don't.
One day you feel like running, the next day you don't. What disease is that?
MacArthritis. It's a general condition.
A general condition.
I can tell you, I'm in the last throes of the Black Furies.
What seems to be your trouble, Ajax?
Well, me boy, a couple of weeks ago, Bully Boy Burke and myself went to a matinee.
Oh, really? What play did you see?
A Streetcar Named O'Dwyer.
With the 5 cent fare still, I suppose.
That's the one. Now, after the play, Bully Boy says to me, says he, Ajax, says he, tonight me nephew, Belshazzar Drumgool.
Yes.
Belshazzar is graduating from Grady's Embalming School.
Grady's Embalming School?
He says Belshazzar is graduating with high honors. Magna cum shroud.
Say, it must have been some occasion.
Oh, that was a night, I can tell you. After the graduation, Bully Boy and me went to O'Brien's Pool Academy. Then the fireworks began.
What happened?
Well, Bully Boy started calling Filbert Fogarty an Irish traitor.
Playing pool made him an Irish traitor?
Filbert was putting English on the ball.
Gosh.
In no time at all, it was raining 8 balls.
Jeepers.
When order was restored, I had so many lumps on me head, I had to rack up me scalp before I could put me hat on.
Well, Mr. Cassidy, do you think the American woman works too hard?
Not in my house.
In your house?
I get up. I cook the breakfast. I do the dishes. I clean the house. I make the beds.
Well, while you are doing all of the housework, what is your wife doing?
She's standing over me with a rolling pin. Goodbye to you all.
To bring it to the 5 DeMarco sisters, assisted no end by Maestro Al Goodman and his orchestra, the DeMarco sing Easter Parade. Girls?
In my Easter bonnet, with all the frills upon it, I'll be the grandest lady in the Easter Parade. I'll be all in clover, and when they look you over, I'll be the proudest lady in the Easter Parade. On the Avenue, Fifth Avenue, the photographers will snap us, and you'll find
find the door in the road to grab your oh, I could write a sonnet about my Easter bonnet. And of the boy who takes me to the Easter parade. Stroll along Fifth Avenue. I could write a sonnet about my Easter bonnet and of the boy who's taken me to the Easter parade.
Thank you. And now, ladies and gentlemen...
Fred.
Yes, Kenny?
There's a man here to see you. He says he's a truck driver.
Say, he may want to buy a Ford truck, Kenny. You know, this could be a sale. Show him in.
Okay, right this way, sir.
Thank you.
Just a little closer to the microphone, sir.
Well, I'm a truck driver.
You drive a truck?
Yes, but my hobby's writing poetry.
Oh.
I'm the poet laureate of the garage.
Don't tell me you write poems about love.
Yes, they're about how all the drivers love the new line of Ford trucks.
Oh.
Now get this couplet. Roses may fade and violets wilt, but not Ford trucks. They're all bonus built.
Well, look, I'll...
Now, here's another one. For the $1 million cab, I'm starting a boom. It's got more comfort than my living room.
Well, look, I...
Maybe you'd rather hear a quatrain.
Well...
Listen. With 139 models to choose, the Ford line is hot. It's the biggest truck news. With 145 horsepower rating, a Ford big job can do a lot of freighting.
Well, look...
I'm not finished.
Oh, I thought you were.
The butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, and fellas who haul any load are all feeling fine about the Ford line. They're the hottest new trucks on the road.
Well, look...
Well, so long, Mr. Allen. I gotta get back to the garage.
Oh, you're taking your truck out?
No, I'm writing another poem.
Oh, I see. You have just heard a relative or two of I'm My Own Grandpa. Played by one relative, really. Played by Maestro Al Goodman and 25 men you would better look at here because you will never see them with Toscanini in television. Say, Portland.
Yes?
Do you know, by chance, you know any funny stories offhand?
Well, I know one about the moron who put his finger in one ear and beckoned to a man out of his other ear.
Fine, that's good. That'll help.
And the one about the rich kids on Park Avenue.
Rich kids?
When they have chicken pox.
Yeah?
They have chicken pox a la king.
Well, that's good. I tell you what, you can tell a few of your zinger gags to finish the rest of the program. Not those two. I wouldn't tell those two over, but some other ones. I have to go over and see the Masons.
Mr. and Mrs. James Mason?
Yes, I have a great idea. I'm putting the Masons on the air in their own program.
Will they be Jack Eigen's summer replacement?
No, they can't hope to start at the top at first, Portland. I'll tell you what happens later. I'm off to see the Masons.
Hello, yes, this is James Mason. Oh, Mrs. Mason, I'm sorry, it's for you, Pam.
Thank you. Hello, this is Mrs. Mason. What, brunch next Sunday? Oh, I'm terribly sorry, Elsa. We're just packing. We're leaving for Hollywood tomorrow. Right you are. Goodbye.
Pam, darling, have you finished this trunk?
Yes, dear, it's all packed.
Good. I'll pack my rifles.
You're taking rifles?
Of course, darling. We're going to California. That's the Wild West.
Oh, it sounds frightening.
It's full of ferocious animals and cattle rustlers and train robbers.
James, how do you know so much about the West?
Well, you remember last week when you were autographing your book, Del Palma, at Macy's?
Yes.
I went out and saw a Roy Rogers picture.
About the West?
Yes, it was terrifying. There was a cattle stampede, bandits set fire to an entire town. There was a murderous gun battle.
Oh, James, do you think we should go to California?
Don't worry, darling.
But what makes you think we'll get through safely?
I wired Roy Rogers. He's meeting our train at Kansas City.
Thank heavens.
Now, let me see. I wonder if everything's packed. Let's check. 9 cats.
14 cats.
14? You mean...
This morning, Shirley.
Very well, 14 cats.
Check.
200 copies of your book, Del Palma.
Check.
Clothes, boots, lorgnettes, bust of Lloyd George.
Check.
Tourist guide to Hollywood.
Hollywood. Oh, that reminds me. This letter came for you this morning. It's from Ronnie and Benita Coleman.
From Ronnie, eh? Let's have a look at it.
What does it say?
Dear Pamela and James, Benita and I are delighted that you're coming to Hollywood. We've made all arrangements for your stay.
Oh, good.
You will love California. It is Liverpool with sunshine. Confidentially, as one Englishman to another, the king should have kept this colony and given Canada to the Americans.
It sounds divine.
California has a wonderful climate. It never rains, but occasionally the fog comes down in shreds. As I'm writing this, it's shredding cats and dogs. I say, shredding cats and dogs, that's rather good.
Yes, Ronnie has a rousing sense of humor.
I hear they're starting to call Ronnie the British Red Skelton.
That is an honor.
What do you know? Benita is planning a big party for us.
A party?
Yeah, it says, Benita has invited C. Aubrey Smith, Sir Cedric Hardwick, and Arthur Treacher for a big mutton barbecue and a few wickets of cricket later.
California sounds really exciting.
Now, wait, Pam. Ronnie says, I must warn you.
Warn us? About what?
A man named Jack Benny.
Who is Jack Benny?
Ronnie says, this Jack Benny is the stingiest man in the world. If you locked him in a room with a skunk, Benny would come out with the scent.
He sounds obnoxious.
It says, yesterday our front yard was filled with tourists. Benny was charging them 25 cents to peek through the parlor window and see my new Oscar.
That Jack Benny must be a rotter.
It says, Benita joins me in sending her love, signed Ronnie. P.S. Watch your cat. Benny makes his own violin strings.
We better finish packing, dear. Will you hand me that?
Someone is at the door, Pam. I'll get it. Oh, it's Fred Allen. Hello. Come in, Fred.
Thank you, James. Hello, Pam. Say, what's all this luggage?
We're leaving for Hollywood tomorrow.
Hollywood?
Yes, Fred. You've been to California. What's it like?
James, California is a wonderful place if you're an orange. You take the sun away from California, and what have you got?
It's nice.
Exactly.
What's wrong with California?
Well, nothing. California is the Florida of tomorrow.
What about Hollywood?
Well, what happens in Hollywood, James? An actor works hard in New York. He becomes a success in the theater. A movie scout signs him up and takes him out to Hollywood on the super cheap. He makes four bad pictures in rapid succession and leaves Hollywood on a Greyhound bus, a forgotten man.
You know such a man?
I am such a man.
But Ronald Coleman wrote us that Hollywood is wonderful.
Yes, Ronnie only warned us about one thing, a chap named Jack Benny.
Oh, Jack Benny.
Have you met him?
Yes, unfortunately. One day on Vine Street, Benny overpowered me and introduced himself. That's the only way he can meet people. He has to overpower them.
What do you think of him?
Well, all I can tell you about Benny, James, is that when he empties his goldfish bowl, he doesn't throw the water away. He heats the water, puts croutons in it, and serves it as fish chowder. What he doesn't eat while it's still hot, he shaves with.
Ronnie says this chap Benny is tight.
Tight? Benny is tighter than a goiter in a turtleneck sweater. But enough about Mr. F.E. Boone's straight man. James, James, I'll tell you why I'm here. I have a great idea for you and Mrs. Mason.
Really?
I'm going to star you both on your own radio program.
But we're leaving for Hollywood tomorrow.
Well, this is for the future, Pam, when you get back to England.
It's an English radio program?
Yes. Now, you've heard our morning husband and wife programs.
You mean like the Fitzgeralds and Tex and Jinx and Dorothy and Dick?
Right. Now, I've written a husband and wife program for you both to do in London.
An English husband and wife?
Yes.
What's it like?
Well, as the program opens, you hear...
Cheerio, all. It's 6 a.m. Time for England's favorite breakfast couple, Pamela and James. We take you to the quaint little Mason Manor where they broadcast their quaint little program from their quaint little breakfast nook. And here they are, the quaint little Pamela and James.
Good morning, Pamela.
Good morning, James.
I say, Mrs. Mason, you're looking absolutely top-hole this morning.
Thank you.
I've never seen you with such an extraordinary glow.
Darling, who wouldn't have a glow after sleeping all night under one of Pringle's electric blankets?
Pringle's electric blankets give you a 30-day slumber guarantee.
Pringle's comes in three temperatures: warm, very warm, and calling Dr. Kildare.
Remember, Pringles is the only electric blanket with the built-in fuse box. Moderately priced at only 2 guineas.
Darling, will you sort the mail while I fetch breakfast?
Breakfast? Good. What are we having?
What's on every stove in England at this hour of the morning?
Lady Cavendish's kidneys.
Quite. Lady Cavendish's kidneys are the only kidneys that come vacuum packed, ready to serve.
They're just chock full of vitamins.
James. I'm dying to tell our listeners what's coming next week.
You mean Lady Cavendish's liver?
Yes, I'm so excited.
So is Lady Cavendish. Orders are pouring in from all over the empire.
The correct time is now 6:05. James, have you fed the dog?
Yes, I gave him a bowl full of Victor's Vitalized Dog Biscuits.
Yes, Victor's Vitalized Dog Biscuits give the dogs that added zest in the morning.
Zest, spelled Z-E-S-T.
And remember, Victor's Vitalized Dog Biscuits are not touched by human hands.
They're made by other dogs.
Tea, darling?
Please.
I say, wasn't the Claridge packed with celebrities last night?
Actually crammed.
Wasn't Noel a scream when he gave Winston that loaded cigar?
I practically choked on my bloater.
I don't know where Noel gets his sense of humor.
I know where he gets his loaded cigars.
Where, darling?
Finchley's Fun Shop.
Finchley's carries a complete line of amusing tricks for all occasions.
False noses, squirting gardenias. Be the life of the party. Stop in at Finchley's Fun Shop, No. 7, Burlington Arcade.
James, darling, it's 6:10. Don't you think it's time we introduced our guest?
By all means, ladies and gentlemen, our guest this morning is Britain's leading ornithologist, Colonel Bullfinch. Good morning, Colonel Bullfinch.
Who have read your new bird book, Two in the Bush, have positively swamped us with questions. I wonder if you'd answer a few. You will?
No.
Oh, good. Well, our first letter is signed Bird Lover, Upper Woppington. Bird Lover has 2 questions. First, Colonel, what is the habitat of the yellow-bellied sapsucker? Well, I must say that answers Bird Lover's first question. And Dr. Rodney's foot balm answers the second.
Yes, Bird Lover, you'll find Dr. Rodney's foot balm a sure cure for athlete's foot. Dr. Rodney's comes in 2 convenient sizes.
The handy half-pint bottle for individual use.
And the 10-gallon vat for soccer teams.
And now, Colonel, the next question is signed fellow traveller Ramsgate. Fellow traveller asks why no Russian birds were mentioned in your book.
Colonel Bullfinch, that is a crystal clear analysis of the Russian problem.
Positively brilliant.
I especially enjoyed that comment on the iron curtain.
And ladies, when you iron curtains, be sure to use a Bromby mango.
A Bromby mango cuts wash day in half.
It cuts everything in half. Get your Bromby mangle today.
Colonel Bullfinch, our next question is from Sir Hubert Hives of Devonshire. Sir Hubert is colorblind. He would like to know how you tell the difference between the red-backed pipit and the white-rumped pipit. I see. The white-rumped pipit seldom eats worms. It prefers kippers.
And like millions of other discriminating British diners, the white-rumped pipit prefers Lord Bottomley's kippers.
Lord Bottomley's kippers have zippers. They're the only zipper that you can look into.
Lord Bottomley cleans them personally. His castle's a mess.
Whether you're a white-rumped pipit or a glutton, you'll enjoy Lord Bottomley's kippers.
And now, Colonel, I wonder if you'd tell us how you came to study birds. I understood you were first interested in bees.
I'm sorry, Pam. Time's up.
Oh, just as the Colonel was getting so interesting.
Till tomorrow morning at 6, this is James and Pamela saying goodbye.
Goodbye.
Colonel.
Our guests will be Shirley Booth and the Harmonies. Before then, why don't you treat your Ford to a spring tune-up? Your Ford dealer's the man to do it properly and reasonably. Thank you and good night. Good night. Thank you. Don't forget your Ford. Thank you. Good night.
The Fred Allen Show came to you from New York. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
One of the truly great comedians in old-time radio, that was Fred Allen with James and Pamela Mason from 1948. We continue now with our star-studded cast of comedians, this time in the form of Edgar Bergen and his wooden dummy, Charlie McCarthy. All the way back to 1947, here's Charlie McCarthy with guest Don Ameche.
The makers of Chase and Sanborn Coffee and Royal Puddings bring you the Charlie McCarthy Show. This is Ken Carpenter, ladies and gentlemen, greeting you on behalf of Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy, Ray Noble and his orchestra, Anita Gordon, Mortimer Snerd, Pat Patrick as Ursel Twing, and our special guest, Don Ameche. And here are Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
Hello there, you lovely people, you. This is your oh-so-clever Charlie McCarthy. Oh, that's all right.
Yes. Oh, that's very cute.
I liked it, yeah.
Yes. How can you act so innocent with such a guilty conscience?
I don't know.
Do you know what time you came in last night, Charlie?
No, sir. My Mickey Mouse watch stopped. Yes. I forgot to put some cheese in it.
Yes. That isn't funny.
No.
You ruined my night, waiting up for you. 10 o'clock, no Charlie.
Oh.
11 o'clock, no Charlie. Where were you?
I was coming in at 2400.
It was 12 o'clock.
Yes, sir.
What have you got to say?
Well, I guess I'm just a no-good little stinker.
Yeah. What were you doing at that time of the night?
Well, there's one thing I want to say before we go any further.
All right. What's that?
Let's not go any further.
Tell me, Charlie, what can you find to do at that time of the night?
Yeah. Are you kidding?
But, Charlie, you must think how you hurt others.
Yeah?
I stood looking at your little bed. It was empty.
So you plopped in and went to sleep?
No. I sat there with the light burning in the window, thinking, where is my wandering boy tonight? I sat there hour after hour. And you know, after 11 o'clock, it isn't easy for me to stay awake.
You have a little trouble at 4 in the afternoon, too.
Terrible thoughts ran through my mind. Why, I was thinking that you might be somewhere on the road, crushed, broken.
Gad, you paint a messy picture, don't you?
I called the hospitals, but no luck.
Oh, that's me, no luck. I never get in a hospital.
Fear clutched at my heart, and as I ran my nervous fingers through my hair.
You really worked your fingers to the bone, didn't you?
Where is my boy? I kept saying. Is he getting into trouble? Perhaps he's robbing the First National Bank? I don't know.
First National Bank? Do you know the cement is 4 feet thick around that vault?
Will my boy's misdeeds make me ashamed to walk down the main street?
Well, you can always sneak up an alley.
Yeah. Well, Charlie, I've done all I can. And I can only repeat, crime does not pay.
No, it doesn't. Nice hours, though.
Yeah. There's lots of wisdom in that old saying, early to bed and early to rise.
Is Bergen's idea of exercise?
No. No. Makes one healthy, wealthy, and wise. Benjamin Franklin said that.
Well, it's corny. Why don't he stick to his kite racket? Wealthy and wise.
That's right. Go to bed with the chickens.
Who ever heard of a wealthy chicken?
All right. Well, early to bed makes a man healthy.
I challenge that statement. Statistics, oh, that darn statistics. Statistics show that more people are sick in bed than any place. Oh.
Well, it also makes you wise, Charlie. You know, Charlie, knowledge is wonderful. Why, you really know nothing without knowledge.
Now, there's a hunk of nothing if I ever heard it.
What I'm trying to say is that anyone who doesn't go to bed at night is an idiot.
Well, that's me. I'm a night-blooming idiot.
Yeah.
Do you mean to stand there and say if I cut myself a slice of snoozeroo, I'll wind up a financial raccoon?
No.
I mean, a cocoon?
No.
Spittoon. Oh, no.
Well, Charlie, I guess I shouldn't be too hard on you after all, because you did come back.
Yes, I did.
And I guess you found that home is the best place after all.
Yeah. And besides, it was the only place open.
Ray Norblin, the orchestra, now play Ray's special arrangement of This Can't Be Love. Some people like coffee better than others. They drink Chase and Sanborn. Yes, that's the surefire formula. The better you like coffee, the better you like Chase and Sanborn now. Because now, once more, the entire world offers its finer coffees for selection. And Chase and Sanborn makes the most of it. You get shade-grown flavor in lavish abundance, vacuum-packed at its best and freshest. And that's why people who like coffee best insist upon Chase and Sanborn. Right now is the time to take advantage of that. Enjoy the richer, more delicious flavor of finer coffees grown in the shade. Shade grown means slow grown, and that explains Chase and Sanborn's special goodness. You see, growing time is flavor-making time. Protected from the sun by taller trees, these coffees store up extra flavor, and then, blended and roasted to perfection, Chase and Sanborn is quickly vacuum-packed. No other container ever invented can give you so much freshly roasted goodness. So don't miss out. Now's the time to ask for Chase and Sanborn, the coffee with shade-grown flavor.
Well, Mortimer.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah. I haven't seen you since last Sunday.
Well, that was probably caused by my not being here.
Yeah, I imagine so. Well, I like you, Mortimer. You never give me trouble like Charlie does.
You
go to bed early at night, don't you?
Well, sure. You see, I have to get up early on account of my new job.
Oh, I see. New job.
Yeah. I'm busier than a one-armed... One-arm. One-armed beaver. Yeah. No.
I see you have another job.
Yeah, I'm working in a big animal and pet store.
I see, a pet store. That's interesting. How much do you make working there in this pet shop?
Well, I get 50 cents a day.
That's nice.
Yeah. And all the flea powder I can use.
That's nice. Tell me, which of the animals there do you like the best?
Oh, I don't know. Oh, the monkeys, I think.
Monkeys?
Yeah. They're so friendly with me.
Yeah.
Seem like kinfolks, yeah. Only smarter.
Yeah, I see.
Well, I think monkeys are very amusing.
Yeah, they're more fun than a barrel of people. Yeah. I like the lion there, too.
Oh, you mean they have a lion?
Yeah, sure.
Well, doesn't the lion frighten you?
No, shucks, no. I even put my head in his mouth.
You didn't?
Yeah.
Well, well, that's awful. What did he do?
Oh, he spit it out.
He spit it out. I suppose your job is to feed the animals.
Yeah, but I'm worried about them, poor things. They're off their feet.
Off their feet?
Yeah.
You mean they won't eat anything at all?
No, they'll just stand there. Molting season, I guess.
They never eat?
No.
Just stand there?
Yeah, that's what they do.
Say, I'm beginning to smell a rat.
No, that's me.
Oh, that's you.
I reckon I'm around those animals so much.
Yeah, I know.
Working around it.
Yeah, yeah. What animal store is this, and who runs it?
Well, his name is, it's out in front there. Comes from Texas.
Comes from Texas?
Yeah. They call him Tex, I think, yeah. Last name is Dermy.
I see.
Yeah.
I thought so. Taxidermy.
That's the fellow, yeah.
Yeah. Mortimer, don't you know why that lion didn't eat you up?
Well, I reckon I'm the wrong flavor.
No, no. Didn't you realize what condition those animals were in?
Well, there was one that's in awful condition. A moose.
A moose?
Yeah. Stuck his head right through the walls.
Mortimer, that's just a moose's head mounted on the wall.
Yep.
Yes.
Well, what worries me is where the moose's caboose is.
Well, you can stop worrying about that moose. It isn't even alive.
You mean old man Moose is dead? Yeah.
That's a taxidermy shop, all right. Those animals are all stuffed.
Well, no wonder they won't eat anything.
No, that's right. Yes, yes. What I mean is that they're all dead.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then why don't they lay down?
Well, I don't know. Mortimer, how can anyone have such colossal stupidity?
Well, it's an old story. Either you got it or you ain't.
That's right.
Well, Charlie, did you tell Edgar where you were last night?
No, I didn't, Ray, and I've had nothing but trouble.
Hello, boys.
Oh, more trouble, Don and Ichi.
Hello, Don.
Hello, Edgar. Say, you're looking fine.
Yeah, well, it's a wonder because last night I was up until midnight.
Why, you old rascal, you.
No, no. No, Charlie stayed out until 12 o'clock last night, but he finally came back.
Wish I could say the same for my $5.
$5?
Oh, you had to go and tattle, didn't you, Ray?
What's all this about?
Well, you might just as well know what happened. Last night, the police picked me up for being out after curfew, that's all.
Yeah, you see, Charlie phoned me for $5 to bail him out. I had to tell them that I was Edgar Bergen. Not pleasant, you know.
So Charlie was picked up by the police. Ray bailed him out and posed as Edgar. Is that it?
Ray, you mean you had the effrontery to pose as me?
Well, to put it baldly, yes.
Yes. Dom, this is the kind of a man we associate with.
I see.
A man who is guilty of forgery and
no.
Misrepresentation.
Oh, please,
no wonder I'm a bum.
Yeah.
Look, I was only trying to keep you out of that absolutely awful jail.
Oh, so now you're running down our jail,
No,
huh?
I didn't mean that, Charlie. Yes. No, I think it's as nice a jail as anyone could hope to be in.
Oh, now you're trying to make crime attractive,
no,
aren't you?
Boy.
You'll swing for this, Noble.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute here, fellas. There's only one way to settle this. Why don't you go down and see my friend who's a lawyer?
Who is he?
Well, his name just happens to be Gazzola.
Uh-oh.
Need I say more?
Come on, Bergen, let's go see the man.
It's just plain love when she takes you by the hand and says, oh, I think you're grand. It's just plain love. It's just plain love. It lives eternally. So if you're happy down inside, just because she's by your side, just plain love. When she looks you in the eye and your heart begins to sigh, just plain love. When she takes you by the hand and says, oh, I think you're grand, just plain love. Love is such a precious thing. Never let it pass you by. There's hidden treasures in your heart, and you can find it if you try. So if you're happy down inside, just because she's by your side, it's just plain
in food shopping these days, the sensible thing is to make certain that you get full value. You know why royal puddings are such a family favorite? Well, 8 out of every 10 say royal puddings taste more delicious. Yes, when 1,052 royal users told why they switched to royal from other popular brands, 8 out of 10 said royal puddings taste more delicious. Not just delicious, but more delicious. What's more, in these days of high food prices, royal puddings still cost only a few pennies a serving. Just try serving your family royal chocolate pudding. Such luscious chocolatey flavor. Reminds you of fine milk chocolate. And so smooth and creamy textured, easy to make. No wonder women buy more royal puddings than any other kind. Ask your grocer for royal puddings tomorrow. There's no need any longer to put up with flavorless wartime brands. Insist on genuine royal. Remember, 8 out of 10 say royal puddings taste more delicious. Not just delicious, but more delicious. And yet royal puddings cost only a few pennies a serving.
Well, this must be the place. It says, Gazzola the lawyer. Walk up one flight and save 10 years.
How do you do, gentlemen? Is there anything I can do for you all?
Well, stuff me with shortening bread and shut my mouth. What part of the North are you from?
I come from Texas.
What a child. Are you from Dallas, Texas, or Income, Texas?
Sir?
Oh, I get it, sir, Texas. Yeah.
Well, we don't have an appointment, but I guess it's all right for us to go right in and see Mr. Gazzola.
No, you don't, Frantz. Frantz. Frantz, for heaven's sakes, pay attention. Friends, I've been waiting so long to see Mr. Gazzola that I am simply worn to a frazzolia. Yeah.
Well, you certainly look like you're in trouble.
Trouble? Well, I want you to know that I am in such a mess.
Is that what
Well, no, it isn't exactly a mess either, because mess is what they call army food.
Yeah.
And goodness knows that I am far from eating regularly.
Yeah.
Are you an attorney or a client?
What do I look like?
Well, I could answer that, but I've got enough trouble now.
Hello, hello, and hello. Greetings and litigations.
Yeah. Are you the lawyer?
That's what I am. And I got a subpoenas, a weenies, a spotless, a cleanies, and a laughing hyena.
Yeah, I know.
My name is Habeas Amicia Gazzola.
Habeas?
That's right. My friends are calling me Honest the Habeas. Huh? The smiling Italian.
I would have never guessed that you were Italian.
You know, it's... There's just so many people can't figure out my nationality.
Yeah.
How do you say I've been here so long I pick up with this Yankee accent?
Yeah.
Well, we have a legal matter we would like to take up with
I
you.
I object.
What are you objecting for?
You're standing on my foot.
Oh.
Mr. Gazzola, I am here to see about an eviction.
Oh, eviction, eh?
Yeah.
You just leave this to me. I'll have you thrown out in 24 hours.
No, not me. You see, I've bought a house, and the tenant is undesirable, uncouth, and just plain un. And I want the lease terminated.
Oh, you mean the building has got the terminates?
No. I mean the tenants.
Oh, the tenants have got the terminites.
They haven't got terminites either.
No.
They're careless and noisy, and if you'll pardon the expression...
You excuse.
Bellicose.
Oh. You hear what he said?
Yeah. That is why I want you to help me evict them.
Don't you worry ahead. I'm going to have them thrown out there before you're going to say Jack Robinelli.
Oh, you will? Oh, you goody-goody gumdrop.
Now we're going to give her this...
Wait for their turn.
What do you say?
I said goody-goody big fat gumdrop.
He said something nasty.
Now, look, Joe, we're going to give her this bum and the bum's a rush. What his address is, huh?
The address?
Yeah.
Do you want to know the address?
That's what I asked.
Okay. The address is 1850 North Colorado Street.
1850 North... Hey! It's the bums of me! That's where I live. You can throw me out. I got a 2-year louse.
Yeah. Right.
You're lucky you got anybody living in this place. That's a mess. Got little things crawling all over the place.
Oh, roaches?
No, my kids.
Oh. Well, frankly, I just think you're disgusting.
Oh-ho! I heard what you said about me. You know I could sue you for libel.
Yeah.
You could?
Yes, I can.
For libel?
That's right.
Well, if you do, I'll just shut up like a small clam.
Well, then, it's smarty pants. I'm going to sue you in a smaller clam's court.
That was very smart. Well, what about the eviction? What am I going to do about throwing you out?
You're going to do nothing because right now I'm going to throw you out. Hey, he's a gone, huh?
Good for you.
What do you want him now?
I forgot to say goodbye.
Yeah, goodbye.
Okay, who's the next here, huh?
Well, we were, but we're not so sure we want to be now.
Yeah.
Are you the only lawyer here?
Hey, sure. You know this old saying, too many crooks are spoiling the soup.
Yeah. Well, we came here to talk about a juvenile delinquent case. Delinquent case, yes.
Say, and you a little bit old to be a juvenile delinky?
No. Not me, no.
No, I'm the delinky, Stinky.
Some cute kid, ain't you? You know, I got four little bambinos of my own.
Oh, you have four children?
Sure.
Do they all look like you?
Exactly.
That's nice.
Except for one little thing.
Yeah?
They no got a mustache.
Ah. Well, you see, I am this boy's guardian, but not his father. Mm. Well, I'm more of a custodian than a guardian, but a guardian in all sense of the word.
Wait a minute. Take a little bit slow, eh?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to get my bearings all balled up.
Yeah.
Now, you mean to say that this kid here is a jawbreaker?
No,
a lawbreaker.
Yeah,
lawbreaker, yeah.
Yes, and we're having quite an argument.
Well, you mean you want to divorce it?
No, I want to beat this rap. Will you handle this case?
Why, you betcha, kid. But I got to have a $10 for a little restrainer.
A restrainer?
Yeah.
Can you strain it a little finer now?
Absolutely no.
Well, I have nothing smaller than a 20. Can you change a 20?
No, but I can change the restrainer to $20.
No, there.
There goes my bubble gum.
Yeah, it's a tough luck, kid.
Yeah.
You know, I hesitate to take money from a little kid.
Yeah?
Okay, I hesitated long enough. Hand them over.
Yeah. Just before you give him the money, Charlie, Mr. Gazzolo.
Yes?
Have you ever had any actual law experience at the bar?
Why you ask a thing like this? Sure. I work at Tony's Bar and a Griller for 2 years.
Where does the law come in?
Law come in every Saturday night to close us up.
What happens to a boy if he's out after curfew?
After what?
After curfew.
Well, that all depends on what the law says.
Well, I know it. That's what I'm here for. Why don't you look it up in a book?
Say, by golly, you smart the fellow, ain't you?
What have we got?
Which book you think ought to try, huh?
Well, that big brown one is nice.
This big brown one here?
Yeah.
It's no good. That's too heavy.
That's heavy.
Look, I'm going to try this one here.
Yeah.
It says it here, and I quote, see? Slowly, Gregory, press his lips to hers. That's the wrong book.
There's a law book there. That's a law book.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you too much, you see. Let's see. Court the apples.
Court of Appeals.
Smart the people, you. Yeah. You foreign people. You mispronounce everything, yeah. Now, what are we going to look for here?
What do we look for? Well, you look under curfew. Curfew.
That's okay, what... don't get so mad. I'm trying to help you here. Let's see, now here.
Yeah.
Cur. It's, here we got him. Here is it. It says, every doggy running around must have a license around his neck. Okay, kid, open up your collar, eh?
I don't have a license around my neck.
No?
Nah.
Then you better roll over and play dead, huh?
How does an attorney as stupid as you stay out of jail?
Hey, my friend, that's a change. I got a good lawyer.
Yeah. You know, there's something funny about this setup. You don't look like you've been here very long. No furniture, no diploma, no license.
Well, look, I'm going to let you in on a little secret.
Yeah.
You see, I'm a traveling lawyer, and I got to leave on a short notice.
You have to leave on a short notice?
Oh, Mr. Gazzola, there's a man from the Bar Association wants to see your license.
Oh, that's my short notice. Case of closed. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Sometimes good news, or a word of advice, we say, just saves the day. So here's today's Day Saver, something to remember. Remember that the better you like coffee, the better you like Chase and Sanborn now. The reason is clear. Finer coffees are back, and Chase and Sanborn gives them to you. You get shade-grown flavor, richer flavor, and more of it at the top of its form. The vacuum pack protects that extra goodness at its flavor peak. So no wonder people who like coffee best insist upon Chase and Sanborn. They want and they get shade-grown flavor and roasting oven freshness. The extra flavor comes from finer coffees, slow-grown in tropical shade. The shade slows the growth, gives the coffee more time to store up the flavor you love. And each day adds a little more for your pleasure, and the vacuum pack holds it for you. Every pound of Chase and Sanborn coffee is vacuum-packed because no other container can give you so much fresh flavor. So make sure that you get it. Now's the time to ask your grocer for Chase and Sanborn coffee.
Well, Charlie, do you know who's coming to see us next week?
No, who?
Well, it's the lovely Linda Darnell. We're having the glamour star of Forever Amber.
Oh, boy, imagine what's going to happen when Forever Amber meets Forever Amorous.
Be sure and listen in next Sunday to Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy, Mortimer Stern, Ray Noll, Anita Gordon, Pat Patrick, and their special guest, Linda Darnell. This week, when you're buying groceries, ask for Chase and Sanborn coffee and royal puddings. Don Amici appeared through the courtesy of the Old Gold Cigarette Company. This is Ken Carpenter speaking to you from the Pasadena Playhouse, Pasadena, California. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Something special happened on April 17th, 18th, and 19th in Bellevue, Washington. The Reps Showcase 2015 with Joan Binney, Tommy Cook, Ivan Curry, Gloria McMillan, Terry Moore, Stuffy Singer, and Beverly Washburn. 2 days of great performances, great radio recreations, and wonderful panels on Jack Benny, as well as a tribute to Stan Freeberg. Those of you who were there know what a great show it was. Here's good news. The entire Reps 2015 Showcase will be re-aired on the Radio Theater Channel starting on June the 22nd through the 26th. Starting Monday the 22nd at 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time and 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific, with a repeat at 10 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time and 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific, and repeated once again on Saturday and Sunday at 4 a.m. and 4 p.m. Eastern. Don't miss it. It's a 2015 Reps Showcase special rebroadcast on the Radio Theater Channel. And that'll be a good show. I hope you check it out. That's www.oldtimeradiolisten.com. That's the place to locate the Radio Theater Channel. And not only is the showcase reprise going to be there, but also every day there's the greatest old-time radio streaming from that site. www.oldtimeradiolisten.com. We've now arrived for our last 30 minutes of this particular podcast. This is a little bit lesser-known comedian nowadays, but still pretty good. Judy Canova. And it's the Gurgle Soda Pop Contest from 1945.
From Hollywood, the Judy Canova Show, brought to you each week by the Colgate Palmolive Pea Company, makers of Palmolive soap and Colgate tooth powder. Palmolive soap, your beauty hope, and Colgate tooth powder for a breath that's sweet present the Judy Canova Show. With Mel Blanc, Ruby Dandridge, Verna Felton, Joe Kearns, the sportsman, Opie Cates and his orchestra, and starring Judy Canova.
Mom, he's making eyes at me. Mom, he's awful nice to me. Mom, she's almost a-breaking my heart. I'm beside him. Oh, mercy, let his conscience doubt him, Mom. He wants to marry me, be my honey bee. What do you think of that? Every minute he gets bolder. Now he's leaning on my shoulder. Ma, 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 he's kissing me.
It seems that Judy has entered a contest sponsored by the Gurgle Soda Pop Company. As we look in on her now, she and Geranium have just opened their 20th case of pop.
Gee, Geranium, I sure appreciate you helping me drink this stuff. We must have drunk 12 gallons already.
Yeah, Miss Judy. Oh, pardon me. You know, I've drunk so much carbonated water, I feel like doing a bubble dance.
Yeah, me too. My floating rib just dropped anchor. What a splash.
Say, Miss Judy, did you finish writing your sentence yet for the contest?
Yeah, I wrote, I like Gurgle Soda Pop because it quenches my thirst. All I have to do is look at a bottle of that horrible green stuff and I ain't thirsty no more. Say, how much more of this hopped up DDT do I have to drink?
Well, now, if you get 450 more bottle tops, honey, you may win the contest.
Yeah, and the prize is a date with my favorite movie actor, Van Johnson.
Mm. You sure like that man, don't you, Miss Judy?
Yep, Van Johnson. That's one van that really moves me.
Yeah, but I will tell you something. Last night I seen him in a picture, and he had a crush on Esther Williams in Technicolor.
Esther Williams in Technicolor?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what has she got that I haven't got that I couldn't get straightened and simonized? And Duco.
Judy?
Yes, ma'am.
Is Van Johnson worth all this trouble you're going to?
Oh, yeah, Aunt Aggie. Gee, I'd even be happy if I could dream about Van Johnson.
Well, put a piece of wedding cake under your pillow and your dreams will come true.
Well, I tried that with a piece of birthday cake. I dreamt about the fire department.
I wonder what made you dream that.
Well, when I put the cake under my pillow, I forgot to blow out the candles. Yeah, it was a three-alarm dream.
Judy, what if you won the contest and Van Johnson proposed to you? Would you know how to act?
Oh, shucks. I hate to mention the number of handsome fellas who proposed to me.
How many handsome men have proposed to you?
None. That's why I hate to mention it. But back home, a couple of people kept asking me all the time to get married.
Who were they, Judy?
Ma and Pa. They were always hoping some big, handsome, blue-eyed hunk of man would come up to me and say,
pardon me for talking in your face, you know.
Oh, hello, Pedro. Did you empty those bottles of Gurgle for me?
Si, my cousin Gonzalez drank it. He said it tickled his nose.
It doesn't tickle my nose.
See, but Gonzalez mixed it with six feathers.
Six feathers?
See, he had two bottles.
Yeah, well, where is Gonzalez now?
Well, he fell asleep in a jeep, and the hill was steep. A train went beep. He'll sell the jeep cheap. It's a heap.
That's too bad.
You know, Senorita, when the new 1946 cars come out, I'm going to get one.
Are the new cars really coming out, Pedro?
See, I was looking at the new 1946 models of the 1942 cars. Which you can get delivered in 1947. If your father is president of the company that made them. If he's still talking to you.
Well, look, did you order one of the new cars, Pedro?
See, I ordered a foot button model.
A foot button model?
See, the floorboard is full of buttons. When you take your girl out riding, you push a button with your foot and the top comes down. You push another button, the radio plays. Push another button, the lights go out. You run the whole car with your feet.
Well, what do you do with your hands?
I eat peanuts.
Pedro, I want to write something else for the contest.
Oh, I wrote a poem for a contest once, Senorita.
A poem?
See, listen. There once was a man from Azusa whose nose was a Lollapalooza. From the day he was born, it looked just like a horn, and he played it for John Philip Sousa.
Judy, if you get a date with Van Johnson, I wonder how you'll get along together.
What do you mean, Aunt Aggie?
Well, they say a tall person gets along well with a short person. A quiet person gets along with a talkative person. Every girl should marry a person with opposite characteristics.
Yeah, I know it, Aunt Aggie. That's why I want to marry a man.
Case is clarinet and his orchestra playing No Can Do. Remember, doctors prove Palmolive's beauty results. It's true, doctors prove Palmolive soap can bring 2 out of 3 women a more beautiful complexion in just 14 days. And this plan was tested on women with all types of skin.
Even women with dry skin, oily skin,
rough skin,
women as old as 50,
even women whose skin wasn't clear.
Yes, 36 doctors, leading skin specialists, have proved the 14-day Palmolive plan improves all types of skin. Yes, brings fresher, brighter, younger-looking complexions. Start your 14-day Palmolive plan now. It's as simple as 1, 2, 3. Here's all you do. 1.
Wash your face with Palmolive soap.
2.
Then massage your face for 60 seconds with Palmolive soft, lovely lather. You see, 1 full minute of this cleansing massage brings your skin Palmolive's full, beautifying effect.
3.
Then rinse. Do this just 3 times a day for 14 days.
And that's all. Remember, doctors prove this beauty plan with Palmolive soap brought 2 out of 3 of all women tested a more beautiful complexion in just 14 days, no matter what beauty care they used before. So get Palmolive soap. See what Palmolive can do for your own complexion in only 14 days.
And for tub or shower, for loveliness all over, get the new big thrifty bath size Palmolive.
Golly, Geranium, 2 weeks have gone by and I haven't heard if I won that gurgle soda pop contest.
You sure are crazy to win that date with Van Johnson, ain't you, honey?
Crazy is right. You know, the only time I ever saw Van Johnson, I felt just like a bottle of soda pop standing in a hot sun.
You did?
Yeah, I gurgled a little, started to fizz, and then blew my top. Yes, sir. The man in a white coat threw a net over me.
Say, Miss Judy.
Yeah, he let me go, though.
He did?
Yeah.
Well, listen, honey, is this the first contest you was ever in?
Oh, no, no. Once I was in a Better Babies contest sponsored by a milk company. I was Miss Coffee Cream of Cactus Junction.
Yeah, well, why do they call you Miss Coffee Cream?
Well, when I was a baby, I was always on top of the bottle.
Oh, yeah.
I had to be. There's 14 kids in the family. Yeah, well, you know, Miss Judy, I come from an exceptionally large family, too.
Now, you can say that again.
Yeah. Yes, you know, my mother even ran out of names for the children. Yeah, she called the last four Eeny, Meeny, Miney, and Charlie.
Charlie? What about Mo?
Only when my pa counted them kids, he said, ain't gonna be no more.
Hey, Miss Canova?
Yes?
I have a letter here for you. It came by pigeon.
Carrier?
No, I better walk this time.
Is it a reply from the contest? Did you win?
Aunt Aggie, the judges liked my letter, but they didn't get my bottle top.
They didn't get your bottle top? Gracious, what do you have to do?
Well, I gotta order more right away. Geranium, call up and order 450 more bottles of Gurgle.
Yes'm? What flavor you want this time?
Well, the orange was good, but it tastes too much like sarsaparilla.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so order the grape. That tastes more like orange.
Okay.
Pedro! Pedro!
Yes, Senorita.
Pedro, did you send those bottle caps to the contest like I told you to?
See, I send them by dog sled.
By dog sled? I told you to send them airmail.
Airmail? Senorita, I thought you said Airedale.
Miss Knuva?
Yes?
Here's your 450 bottles of Gurgle.
Gee, you got here quick.
Yeah.
Ain't reconversion wonderful? Say, how long have you been with the Gurgle Company?
35 years.
That's five. Golly, mister, you must like this stuff.
No, never touch it. Prefer onion juice to sell.
Onion juice?
Yep.
Well, now, don't that give you a little trouble with your breath?
No, use Colgate tooth powder. Never have a breath for trouble, you know.
Gosh, I sure wish my sponsor could hear you say that. Go ahead, let him hear you say it. Say it again.
I use Colgate tooth powder.
All right, that's enough. Okay.
Say, I know a Canova lived up by Skanookahook Mean. Name of Abigail. Any kin?
No, why?
Well, she was a mighty fine woman. Did a lot for Skanookahook Chuck.
Yep.
She married a rich millionaire. Had a pile of money. Yeah, she married him.
Is that slow?
Yep. Gave us an auditorium, a park, and a library. Mighty fine woman.
Well, where'd she get the money to do all that?
Poisoned her husband.
Poisoned her husband?
Yep. Mighty fine woman.
Well, I better get busy and open these bottles so I can send the tops in.
Yes, Judy, and you'd better hurry. Remember, the contest closes at midnight.
Oh, don't you worry, Aunt Aggie. I'll have the tops off these bottles before you can say, Van Johnson, hand me that opener and stand back. I shouldn't have opened that last bottle with my teeth.
Judy, look. The soda pop is running all over the floor. And you've broken off a tooth.
Head for the hills, boys. The bridge is out.
Which tooth did you break, Judy?
Well, sir, I think it was my Pullman tooth.
Your Pullman tooth?
Yep, lower seven.
Judy, this is dreadful. Now you'll have to have that tooth extracted.
Extracted? Shucks, no, I'll just go to the dentist and have it pulled out.
Just kiss me once and kiss me twice and kiss me once again. It's been a long, long time. Haven't felt like this, my dear, since can't remember when. It's been a long, long time. You'll never know how many dreams I dreamed about you, or just how empty they all seemed without you. So kiss me once and kiss me twice and kiss me once again. It's been a long, long time.
Kiss me
once and kiss me twice and kiss me once again. It's been a long, long time. Haven't felt like this, my dear, since can't remember when. It's been a long, long time. You'll never know how many dreams I dreamed about you. For just how empty they all seem without you. So kiss me once and kiss me twice and kiss me once again. It's been a long, long time.
Just kiss me once and kiss me twice and kiss me once again.
It's been a long, long time.
Haven't felt like this, my dear, since can't remember when.
It's been a long, long time.
You'll never know how many dreams I dreamed about you, or just how empty they all seemed without you. So
kiss me once and kiss me twice and kiss me once again.
It's been a long,
it's been a long, long time.
That was Judy Canova singing It's Been a Long, Long Time.
Use Colgate to powder, keep smiling just right. Use it each morning and use it each night. Don't take a chance with your romance. Use Colgate to powder.
Remember this message from Colgate Tooth Powder. Your romance will be a bursted bubble if you have that breath of trouble. Maybe you are a victim of a breath of trouble. I mean, unpleasing breath. Something you don't even suspect in yourself. But it's happened to thousands without their knowing. So just do this. Brush your teeth night and morning and before every date with Colgate Tooth Powder. For Colgate Tooth Powder cleans your breath as it cleans your teeth. Because scientific tests have definitely proved that in 7 cases out of 10, Colgate Tooth Powder instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. What's more, no dentifrice at any price cleans your teeth more quickly and thoroughly than Colgate Tooth Powder. Remember to buy it first thing, and remember the name, Colgate Tooth Powder, with the accent on powder.
Don't take a chance with your romance. Use Colgate Tooth Powder.
Good morning. Is this Dr. Harrison, the dentist's office?
Yes, ma'am, it is.
Well, I'm Judy Canova, the girl who called about the broken tooth. Is the doctor in?
Yes, he's polishing some plates.
Well, when he finishes the dishes, can I see him?
Oh, doctor, here's Miss Canova.
Oh, yes, yes, the girl who bit the pop bottle. Now, Miss Canova, just sit in the chair here, and we'll have that tooth out in a hurry.
Okay.
Do you want a local anesthetic?
Local? Shucks, no, give me something imported.
No,
hard to get, yes.
Quite understand. I was referring to the process of anesthesia that renders the patient immobile, unconscious, and completely immune to pain. Do you object to gas?
Oh, no, talk all you want to. Go right ahead.
Now, just relax, Miss Canova, and you'll have pleasant dreams. We'll pull the tooth and cast it away. Cast it away.
Cast away, cast away, cast away, cast away. Golly, I'm a castaway. On a South Sea island.
Ugh, who are you? Ugh.
No, I ain't Ugh, I'm Judy Canova.
I still say, ugh.
Say, how did I get here?
You come from big boat, terrible wreck.
Yeah, I know. I always look this way after a boat ride. Yeah, if you think I'm a mess now, you ought to see me on Navy Day in the Tunnel of Love. Oh, I'm telling you. Woo. Say, how'd I get up on the shore?
You carried up by great big waves. She was a seaman, second class.
Well, tell me, what island is this?
You come off big boat, land on Bali.
Never mind how I landed. Where am I? Say, who is this?
Pardon me for talking in your sleep, Miss Judy, but you're in Pogo Pogo.
Geranium, how'd you get here?
Oh, don't ask me, honey. This is your dream. I'm a flower girl. Want to buy a geranium or a chrysanthemum?
A what?
A chrysanthemum.
Say, geranium, you got hiccups.
Yes, and I got buttercups, too.
Oh, look, geranium, the native chief.
I'm going mad! Mad! Mad!
What's the matter, chief?
Oh, they won't let me blow any bubbles.
Palm Olive commercial again.
Hey, what's that?
The chief is leaving for Albuquerque.
All aboard. Have your bottle tops ready. All aboard for Ontario, Riverside, Colton, Anaheim, Azusa, and Cucamonga.
Sorry, sounds just like Jack Benny.
Good evening, ma chérie.
Oh, gee whiz, are you Hollywood's Van Johnson?
No, I'm Beacon's Van Storage. finding you here in this paradise is wonderful.
Huh?
You are gorgeous. I like the way that sarong is draped around your waist.
Oh, this ain't a sarong, it's my turban. I wound it too loose.
Ah, ma petite. Oh, this is so romantic. Doesn't this tropical moon fill you with ecstasy?
Huh?
Even the animals of the jungle are under its romantic spell.
Huh?
Look at those monkeys in the tree. They are speaking their language of love. Why can't we do what they are doing?
Nope. When I hang by my feet, the blood rushes to my head. How did you get here?
Well, the same way you did. A dentist in Pomona gave me an anesthetic. Oh, but forget that. Come. Oh, kiss me.
Well, I don't know.
I tell you, when I kiss a girl, she feels as if she is floating through space. Oh, kiss me.
Here.
Your voice is fading. Where are you going?
I'm going out of the anesthetic.
Oh, no, don't go. I was planning to take you to far off places. London, Paris, Nice.
Anaheim, Azusa, and Kamanga.
Hey, nurse.
What is it, Miss Canova? Do you want more gas?
Yeah, and you better check the oil and tires, too. I'm going on a long trip. Folks, tomorrow is Armistice Day, the day on which World War I ended. So tonight, I'd like to dedicate my theme song to the men and women of our armed forces who have given so much to bring freedom and peace to the peoples of this earth. Let's go.
And now here's Judy to sing the complete version of her closing theme song, Good Night, Soldier.
Good night, soldier, wherever you may be. My heart's lonely without you. Good night, soldier, taps reveille. Finds me dreaming of
about you. Someday skies will change to blue, smiles will vanish, sorrow. Good night, soldier. Angels walk with you, keep you through each tomorrow.
This is Vern Smith asking you to follow the 14-day Palmolive plan for a lovelier complexion. And don't take a chance with your romance. Use Colgate tooth powder night and morning and before every date. Ladies, you now get 4 points a pound for your used cooking fat instead of 2. Save every drop you can. Remember that soap calls for vast quantities of fat. The more you turn in, the more soap you'll see at your grocer. Let me repeat, your butcher now pays you 4 cents and 4 points for every pound of cooking fat. Now, here's Judy.
Folks, it was awfully nice being with you tonight, and I hope we'll all be together again next Saturday night. In the meantime, please don't forget the two products that bring us together each week, Palmolive Soap and Colgate Tooth Powder, the bestest in the world. This is Judy Canova from Hollywood saying, good night.
The Judy Canova Show is written by Fred Fox and Henry Lupo.
This is the National Broadcasting Company. Burn up our 90 minutes for this week. We're back next week with another 90, and they're all going to be good ones. So join me, and let's listen to it together. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.